What a wonderful day. So we did not decorate the stage for baby dedication. This was a celebration we had yesterday for our life team members. So it was a staycation Hawaiian luau, and we had a wonderful time just thanking them, eating together, and playing games. And so if you think, well, nobody invited me to this, you are most welcome to come next year. Just join a life team, and you'll have an awesome time. All right, turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Everyone, all the parents that were dedicated, that your child was dedicated, you can pick up your certificate in the lobby on your way out after church. Proverbs 3 gives us instruction, and in these two passages, consequences of what will happen. Proverbs 3:7, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil." What will happen? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Same in verse 9. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So we're going to receive today's tithes and offerings. If you need an offering envelope, the ushers are in the aisle. We also have lots of online and mobile money options to give that are cashless. You'll find that on our app, on our website. We've got a kiosk in the back. All right, here's some on the screen. So the Lord says to honor him, to honor him. And we do that in a variety of ways, but one of the ways is we honor him with our possessions. So it's not just putting a Christian bumper sticker on a stolen car, all right? It is that the first fruits of our increase, that as he blesses us, the first thing we do is we say, "Lord, I honor you. I recognize you're the one that did this for me." And the Bible says, as we do that, that he will continue to supply. So giving doesn't have to be a fearful thing. It's full of faith, and it's trusting him and his word that he'll do just what he said he'll do. So today's a marvelous opportunity for us to do that and to bring our first fruits into the house of God and to see his kingdom established in the lives of men and women. Amen? Can we pray as we bless this offering? Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to do good, to bless people, Father, that your will and your ways would be done through the life of this church. And Lord, thank you that we can have a part to play. And Lord, those of us that consider this church our home church, Lord, that we are committed in so many different ways. And this is one of those ways, Lord. May your grace flow through us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you as you give. Today, as you give, we're going to see a wonderful testimony about a couple ministries of the church I believe will bless you.
My name's Patuma Mwela Chileshe. I lead the Wise Ears Connection Group. The Wise Ears Connection Group is for the hearing impaired of Miracle Life Family Church. So we started a couple of years ago. And it has grown through the years, but we are also looking to grow more of the connection group team. So we're basically asking the church to bring those members who are hearing impaired to church and to join the Wise Ears group. We are also looking forward to harvest more hearing impaired members to Christ. It was important because the hearing impaired need to know who God is, who Christ is, and what he did for us. So we as the hearing impaired interpreters are basically a conduit sharing God's word as the service is preached, as the songs are sung. What I enjoy most about serving is the response of the hearing impaired. You notice that they are asking questions where they're not clear. They contribute, they add, and even when we have the connection group meeting, they're basically interacting and really, really just enjoying themselves. My fondest memory is when I just learned sign language and I fumbled a little bit, and the hearing impaired corrected me, and I eventually felt comfortable and continued to sign. It is a way for us to teach the hearing impaired clearly the Word of God. We are looking forward to a great harvest of hearing impaired, and we want to bring all of them to Christ. My name is spelled V-I-D-A-H, Vida, N-A-M-F-U-K-W-E, Namfukwe. I thank the Lord Jesus who saved me through the interpretation of the Word. I have learned more and more about God. Through the interpretation of the pastor's preaching, God bless. Thank you. There is a huge need for more interpreters, but more so, there is need for Miracle Life members to bring their family members that are hearing impaired to church and to also join the Wise Ears Connection Group.
So glad for people at this church that make a difference for others. Again, if you know some folks that ministry could help them and bless them, please spread the word. All right, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've been talking about God and money. I guess we could have said God, money, and you. But God's perspective and God's word. And something we saw in the very beginning was that God's word has a lot to say about money. Lots of different perspectives. There's encouragement, there are promises, but there are also huge warnings and rebukes and things that we need to be careful about. And so this passage in 1 Timothy that we started last week, it really incorporates so much of those things together, and you'll see that today. But when we finished off last week, we saw that Paul said to Timothy, you know, don't be like these false teachers that say that gain is godliness, that encourage the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. And he said, you, O man of God, you do some other things. You pursue, you hold fast, you obey the commandment. And then Paul glorifies Jesus at the end of this passage here. And let's pick this up in verse 14. It says, you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. And one of the things, he puts this right in the middle of this teaching about money, because he was talking about money, talks about Jesus, and then he talks about money some more, is that this is not a mistake, but if Jesus is our focus, if Jesus is the center of our worship, then that's going to keep us from the danger that is around money and its use. Jesus is alone immortal. Money is not. Jesus is wonderful. Money is neutral. Jesus cares for you. Money could care less about you. All right, so, and he uses this in the rest of this passage that Jesus is the object of our trust, not money. All right, so let's pick up here in verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And these three verses, I find some of the most helpful and useful in the whole New Testament to speak to us in 2023 about money and its use. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the life to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. All right, so the very first part of that passage says, command those who are rich. Now, this would be rich believers. So Paul was hearing from his mentor, Paul, or Timothy was hearing from Paul, of what to share with believers. So there were rich people in the church at Ephesus, and Paul's saying they need to hear this. Now, I know some of you are sitting here today and say, rich believers. Yeah, I think I know one or two of those. I've heard about them. I've seen a couple on TV. Well, let's define rich, okay? Because in the world that we live in, some people may define rich as having your own private yacht that you ride around the world in. I'm not sure what they do all day. But anyway, they ride around the world in a yacht. I've met a couple people that have worked on those. But so we think, oh yeah, they're rich and I'm not. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And I believe this is actually a biblical definition of being rich. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. All right, so one is, my needs are met consistently. Secondly, and you have plenty left over to share with others. So needs met with money left over. I believe that's a biblical definition of being rich. Now, there are in the Bible evil riches, and there's riches from unjust practices. But when we look at 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich, they're not rebuked for being rich, nor are they told to divest of their riches. But they are given very stern warnings and a path of life for them to follow. So, if you're here today and you could say, look, Pastor Mark, I don't drive around, you know, the world in a yacht or a jet, but most months, most years, I find myself with extra. If I have extra, congratulations, you might be rich. All right? If you have food at your house for more than a week, in worldwide terms, you actually are rich. All right? A third of the world that we live in today, they will go to sleep tonight without having eaten enough. All right? And that's, we've already seen, that is not God's will. That is not God's plan for humanity. But if I have extra, then I need to listen to what's being said. Or I have aspirations. Maybe I'm behind. Maybe I'm under pressure. But through God's help and through wisdom and the things that we've heard, I want to reach a level of 2 Corinthians 9:8 that my needs are met consistently and I have plenty left over to share with others. So if you have aspirations for that, from a godly perspective, then this passage is going to give you reasons to achieve that, reasons to live at that level. Because there are some people who want to have extra so that they can bling out and show their ex-boyfriend how successful they are. You do know that God has no interest in helping you achieve that end. All right? Sometimes, I heard a Pentecostal preacher say this, and he kind of reached the pinnacle of success, did a lot of bad things and sinful things, and crashed, misused money along the way, and he grew up in what we would call abject poverty. And when he started being able to handle lots of money, he started living a very outlandish lifestyle. And he said, I wanted to scream to the world, I'm not poor anymore. Okay. How many of that's prideful, isn't it? So again, God's not going to help you achieve that end. So this passage will help mess with our motives and will help mess with why we are doing certain things. So command those who are rich. Command means these are not optional. This is not extra credit. These are things that need to be in our lifestyle. All right? Now you say, Pastor, I'm just not even going to listen to this sermon because I'm not rich yet. Well, you could learn these practices now. And you could start putting them into practice for when you do have needs met and there's plenty left over. All right. But I really, really believe many of you are in this category today, whether you want to believe it or not. Okay? I see more cars outside than I do bicycles. All right? And just me, I'm just looking. There's a Mercedes, and funny enough, that's also a Mercedes. So, let's see. License plate number. Oh, no, just kidding. All right. I can't see that far. Okay. But notice Paul said this. Command those who are rich in this present age. And here's what the Bible tells us. Is that rich in this present age does not necessarily transfer to rich in the age to come. Eternity. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told about a rich man, we don't know his name, just rich man, and Lazarus. And the rich man, I like the old King James, the Bible says he feasted sumptuously. Some of you are thinking, I would like to feast sumptuously. All right, he feasted sumptuously, he had all kinds of extra, and Lazarus was just trying to eat the crumbs from his table. Dogs would come and lick the sores of Lazarus's body. That's a pretty stark contrast, isn't it? Dogs licking your open wounds and feasting sumptuously. Well, they both died. How many know everybody dies? The rich, young, the poor, everybody in between. So the rich man dies, Lazarus dies, and they are reversed, their roles. Lazarus is with Abraham, the patriarchs of God, all right? And the rich man is in hell and in torment, and while he had servants to bring him food, he can't find anyone to even bring one drop of water for his tongue. And he says, I am in this torment, all right? So when we think of the rich man and Lazarus, really the second half of that story is Lazarus and the man formerly known as rich. Like prince, symbol, whatever he was, is. You know. He wasn't rich anymore. It did not go into the next life. All right, he didn't make plans. He didn't have an eternal mindset. All right, so rich in this present age means that we have to see money and stuff as temporal. We have to see it that way, all right? So, let's get into these verses. There are two warnings and five commands. Two warnings and five commands. First warning is, we see it here, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Other translations say arrogant or proud. It is very, very common in our world that when people begin to have excess cash, an excess lifestyle, one of the first things that comes along is a manifestation of pride. It may have already been in their heart. Now they can afford to show it in bigger ways. All right? And so people brag. People live. People... most of, you know, clothes and handbags, I'm sorry, ladies, I'm not picking on you, all right, but all of the logos and stuff, it's just a brown handbag. But if it's Louis Vuitton or Chanel or whatever, then as I'm walking, you can see what I can see, all right? Just be careful that they've spelled the name right when you bought it on Chachacha Road, okay? Huh? So, this is a big problem. Riches and pride. Gordon Fee, a Pentecostal theologian, he's in heaven now. He put it this way. He said, arrogance is the deadly sin of all people, but it seems to be the special curse of the rich. You've got more opportunities to brag, more opportunities to be noticed. There are Christian bumper stickers that say, Lord, let my enemies live long enough to see me in my blessings. That is not a Bible prayer. That comes from a heart of pride. Okay? Jeremiah 9:23. It says, let not the rich man boast in his riches. Deuteronomy 8. God is warning the children of Israel. So they're going to leave the wilderness. They're going to cross over the Jordan. And they're going to finally live in the promised land. And this is Moses' last sermon to them. The book of Deuteronomy. And there's a warning here in verse 12. It says, for when you have become full and prosperous and have fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Now, how many of you know if the world was describing that, they would say, be happy. Throw a party. God says, be careful. Now, what's interesting, if you read backwards from Deuteronomy 8, the flocks multiplying, all of these things in the land, God has said that I will directly help this come to pass. Not passively, directly helping people to have this life. He said, but when that happens, be careful. And what's the warning? It's pride. Verse 14. Do not become proud at that time. And forget the Lord your God who rescued you from what? From slavery in the land of Egypt. Meaning, I didn't do this for myself. This is the hand of God. This is the help of God. I should be lost. But God rescued me and helped me and taught me about money and made me generous. And my life is different now. So when you take credit and you are prideful about money, that is a misplaced view of reality. All right, how many of you watched some football the last few days? 4-2. Hallelujah. Right? So, Fashion Sakala, Patson Daka, two goals. I always forget the third guy. Anyway, amen, amen. Okay, so four celebrations over goals, right? Big celebrations. And the person who scores the goal, they do their thing, right? If you're Ronaldo, you do the jump in the air and the whoosh, come down, right? If you're over 50, don't try that. Okay. You could pull a muscle. So, but there's always a celebration. So imagine all these goals were scored, and you've got the guy that's keeping the goalkeeper, you know, they're all the way in the back, the defender. He didn't start the play. He wasn't involved in the play. He didn't send a crossing. He did nothing. And when the goal is scored, he's prancing around as if he did it. Takes off his shirt, turns it around, everybody see my name. Remember when Messi did that? That was awesome. Anyway, we would think, dude, why are you celebrating the goal that you didn't score? As if you scored it. That's what rich believers do if they brag about their money. God did this. God helped you. You should be a slave. You should be in Egypt. You should be in bondage. You should be on your fifth divorce, making alimony payments by now. You should be a wreck. But God, who had mercy on you. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so anything we might have is from God. And here's what the Bible in Colossians says. So if it's from God, guess what? It is for God. It's for His glory. It's for His purpose. It's for His agenda through our life. All right, so number one warning, don't be arrogant, don't be prideful. Second, do not trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in them. Well, there's two reasons why you shouldn't trust in uncertain riches. Number one, they are uncertain, right? Industries that existed 20 years ago don't even exist today. Things go up, things go down. Maybe when the kwacha went up to 19, you said, I'm going to do some Forex trading, and it's going to come back down. Well, sorry about that. You just lost 40%. All right? Well, riches are uncertain because they're here on the earth. You can't predict stuff. All right? I hope we have a bumper harvest this year, but sometimes the rains come, and then it doesn't rain for 2 months. Things dry up. So I don't trust the rain, I trust God. I don't trust my bank account, I trust God. All right. So riches are uncertain. And then the other reason is we don't trust riches because they are not the living God. God is the only one who can be the object of our trust. He's the only one who is faithful. God and God alone. Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in your job. He didn't say have faith in your extra bank account. Have faith in God. And so when you have your needs met and you begin to have some extra, it is a temptation to start trusting that instead of God Himself. Amen? All right, so that's the warning about trust. But then the first thing we're to do is to trust God. All of our life, this is specifically about money. Second thing the Bible says, is that it says, let them do good. Let the rich believers do good. Now, what does the world tell you if you have extra? Does the world tell you to do good? No, the world tells you to have it good. Have it good. So much of advertisement is along these lines. If you look at like a neighborhood or a city or a place or a vacation, whatever, they'll even say, come and experience the good life. And on the advertisements, everyone is happy. Everyone has a good complexion. Everyone is smiling as they're getting drunk. I've been around a lot of drunk people, and they are some ornery folks. All right, this is false advertising. All the spouses love each other. And here's where I really know it's false advertising. Is you got four guys playing golf, and they're all smiling. I don't smile a lot when I golf. I try to overcome carnality most of the time. Anyway, have it good. You've got some money? Pay yourself. Be good to yourself. It's me time. All right? Or as Bruno Mars taught us, stylin', whilin', living it up in the city. Right? I'm so thankful. I asked in first service, I said, what does whilin' mean? And a staff member, they told me what whilin' means. They knew. I didn't know, all right? But that is what the world tells you to do. When you got extra, live it up. Live it up. What does the Bible tell Christians who have extra? Do good. Do good. Well, how do you do that? Well, here's, you got to figure it out. It says do good, and the next one says be rich in good works. So you can be rich in luxury cars. You can be rich in the number of shoes you have. The athletes, that's their thing now, right? You go into their, and they've got a whole room about the size of this auditorium of all their Air Jordans, you know? As Bishop Sakala told us at the Brave Men's Conference, you just have to ask the question, why? Why? All right? So, rich in good works, do good. So, when the Bible says do good or rich in good works, we have to let God define those terms. So, when the Bible speaks of good works, it has two aspects. One is that it blesses someone else. It makes a difference for someone else, and it's in line with God's kingdom agenda for their life. All right. So there might be some things that kind of look good on the surface, but they really don't make a difference. So doing good, producing good works, we can actually take the extra money that we have and convert it into good works. Now, let me give you an example. Somebody here at the church, a couple, and I knew them before they were married, and I've watched their life together grow, raise a family, and both the mom and the dad, husband and wife, their careers have done well, and they've progressed, and as they've progressed, they've earned more money, substantially, from when I met them, and they've been smart, they've been wise, raising their family well, and they were also smart, so they invested in different land. So there's this piece of land, and when they bought it, they bought it for themselves. They bought it for something that they were going to do for their family. Well, one of them talked to my wife recently, and God has burdened them with a need in our nation for children. Children, specific ones that are suffering with certain types of circumstances. And they prayed and they've talked together and they're going to take that land and they're going to build an entire center for children that have this type of need. So they've converted something that was for themselves, and how many know they could sell it in a day and pocket the cash, but they're going to convert it into doing good. And this was some of the reflections. I asked them if I could share this with you. And they said, people worry about things that don't matter. What is the next best car I should get? What should I change in my house? Why are we so vain as people? We put so much importance on things that don't matter. Right now, that child doesn't have a mother or father. And it's not built yet. See, that is an example of when God starts messing with your heart, Jesus becomes the center of your life and your love. And what happens? Your money follows what you care about. And in this case, they have lots of different options for that land that could benefit themselves. But they're saying, God, we're going to put this into your hand. It seems impossible, but I'm telling you, watch this space. They're going to do it. I know they'll do it. Because I know they're awesome, all right? Now, the other thing that I was really blessed when they were telling us this story is that when they saw this need and they began to weep and they began to pray, their first step was not, let me go knock on the door of a minister. Government, you need to sort this out. Now, government has its responsibilities, right? But I don't know if you've read the newspaper recently, it seems like pretty much every government in the world is challenged. That's put it mildly. They have more that they want to do than the money that they have to do it with. So, instead of asking someone to do the job for you, just do it yourself. Do it with God's help. And so that is someone who has extra, and they're converting it into something awesome. Rich in good works. So if we aspire to reach 2 Corinthians 9:8, then I want to have my needs met and have extra plenty to do what? To share with others. Ready to give. Willing to share. Now, I think you would agree, willing to share, that sounds a lot like your motives, your heart, doesn't it? So there's things that I'm willing to yield to God, and I'm willing to let His heart become my heart. So willing to share means that God doesn't have to send me 5 angelic visitations to share a chicken with somebody. Right? That, again, you spending money on yourself is kind of easy, and God begins to lead you to be sacrificial to his kingdom or to someone, and you say, "Oh, pastor, pray for me. I need confirmation. Let everything be confirmed in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses." That's not what that means. All right. Here's a good thing in life. If you have an impression to give, just go ahead and give. If you make a mistake, I'm sure God will forgive you. All right. If you're going to err on one side, err on being too generous. All right. So ready or willing to share, ready to give. Now, I believe ready to give is practical. Ready to give. What does the Bible say, 2 Corinthians 9:8? That you have plenty left over to share. Another translation says, for every good work. That means every good work that comes across your radar, boom, I can participate. Everyone. Not half of them. Everyone. Now, how many of you know not every request is a good work? I hope you know that, right? But it means I can participate. So this means having cash on hand. This means having a bank account that you don't touch. This means that you have money that is set in your budget for 2024 that is for giving, that is extra. At Miracle Life, and I know this is collectively, but we heard another church do this and we thought, you know, this is such a great idea, is that as Miracle Life, there we have planned giving to a lot of different causes and ministries. But then there are times where a need comes up or there's this church or that. So now, I believe it's up to 250,000 kwacha, that different staff members, board members, different ones, staff, pastors, can say, hey, you know what, there's this need. Why don't we think about, let's look at giving. And so we do this all throughout the year, and we don't have to have a membership vote. It's already approved, but it is, we call it the giving fund. All right, so what are we? We're ready to give. It means that when we do this, we're not going to miss payroll. We're ready to give. If you've ever played sports, or maybe you watched tennis or something, or you watched a goalkeeper getting ready for a penalty shot, they don't stand like this, right? They are ready, aren't they? In fact, it's called the ready position. I got to be careful. I might split my pants if I do it too well. All right. But it means ready to move right, left, front, back. I can jump. I'm ready to move. And so you and I need to have a ready to give predisposition of our life. Ready. It's in my bank account. It's in my wallet. I'm ready to give. Not ready to spend money on myself. I'm ready to be a blessing. Amen. All right. Now, I love this quote by T.D. Jakes. Tell your neighbor, get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, so we get an opportunity to put this into practice. Now, I've been wanting to teach this series for about 3 years, and it just so happened this is when it is, and a marvelous opportunity has come up right at the same time. So, Pastor William Cantamoya, his wife Clara, huge, huge blessings to our church, and a number of years ago, after serving as a pastor for a number of years, getting paid on time, Pastor Williams said, you know what? I don't want to get a paycheck anymore. I want to go help churches and pastors all over Zambia and this region who are struggling in tough communities, in rural communities, in hard places in cities. And so he has done that, and he's raised up a team. Things got a little bit weird with COVID, but then he's geared back up, and this year he is going, going, going. All right, there's some pictures up here of where he and his team have been this year. They were in Solwezi. They went farther in northwest, and the entire Pastors Fellowship has invited them to come back and do a whole regional thing. They've been to Botswana a number of times. Just yeah, look at this picture. So those are the leaders that were trained. Can you see that they're in front of their church? They're paving is a little different than our paving, isn't it? okay? And that's a church, all right? Would you agree that it's likely that that church might not be able to pay for his diesel for 1,200 kilometers, 600 one way, 600 the others, all right? So we do that. So as a church, this is one of the major ministries that we support. But as they went, and everyone, this ministry takes them outside of Lusaka, three members of our church, three men, came to me and they said, Pastor, we want to buy this ministry a 4x4 vehicle a number of years ago. So they did. They wanted to be anonymous, and so they're still anonymous. You know who you are if it's you. Okay. So they did it, and they presented it to him. It was so wonderful. So we never came to the church about that because somebody else did it. Well, Pastor William and his team, they have driven the doors off of that vehicle. All right, it can no longer take them all over Zambia. It can't even take them to Kafue. All right, it's been fixed and fixed and fixed. It is finished. It is gone. So, as a church, Pastor Haley and I heard about this need. We talked to the board. The board discussed it for about 10 seconds and said, no, let's do this. All right? So we are going to buy Pastor William and this ministry a 4x4 truck. All right? And so that's not exactly it, but that is an indication. All right? It'll be that or better, but that's an indication. So it's a Toyota 4x4, 2.8 diesel, and all these things, if you travel all over the country, you know that those things are necessary and needed. And so this is not just for him to be styling, wiling, living it up in the city. This is a tool, this is a gospel tool that will take him all over Zambia. So, as you know, these are not made in Zambia, so whatever comes in is attached an exchange rate. So we've been shopping, looking, all different kinds of options, those that are in the country, outside. We're going to get one right around 600,000 kwacha. 600,000 kwacha. You say, well, Pastor, that's a lot of money. Well, but we didn't ask you to do it alone. If you do, we'll be okay with that. All right? But here's what I'm going to ask you to consider is, so this sermon is talking about, if you got some extra, do good. Do good. Not have good, do good. So I want to challenge everyone here to think about an amount of money that you easily spend on yourself. You probably did last month. All right, so maybe you're a single person, you're a student. And you say, you know what, I just want to hang out with my friends. I don't have to do this, but we're going to go to Hungry Lion. All right? Take the amount at Hungry Lion. Convert it and consider giving it to this. Because you actually have it. You've just been eating it yourself. All right? Maybe you are a young couple. Where are those two couples? Here, I see you. May your sacrifice locate you. All right. But maybe once a month as a couple, you say, hey, you know, let's go out to eat. And we relax, we have a good time. All right? Whatever that amount is that you easily spend on yourself, give it to this. Oh, Pastor, but then we won't go out. I know, just stay home, eat rice and beans, praise the Lord, go to sleep. All right? You'll live to tell about it, all right? Now, there's some other folks here that your challenge is a little bit bigger. Because I know there are folks in this room that what you easily spend on yourself is just to go to Joburg for the weekend. Yeah, I'm going to go see my friend. Do you have to? No, I just want to. I'm sorry, it's because I see you there, okay? I see you on the airplane, all right? And I'm not going to make you stand up. But you need to consider that amount of money, all right, that's hundreds of dollars, and give it to that. Because you can. Because you have the ability to do that. All right, now, if you're a student, you can't. And that's cool, all right? But consider that. Now, there's others here Maybe they were only in the first service, but some people actually go and they fly to Dubai to save money on shopping. My first job was an accountant. I don't know how you can save money, but anyway, maybe you do. All right. All right. If that's you, whole price of that trip, convert it into kwacha, and you give that. Why? Because you can. You can. You just heard the thing. Do good. Do good in good works. Convert the extra into something that's going to make a difference. Because all over our nation, and I'm telling you, when I hear the testimonies from Pastor William and his team, they go to places where people have been praying for years. We need this. We need someone to come to us. We can't afford to get to Lusaka. But how many of you know the gospel is go, not tell them to come. It's to go. It's to go. Churches are being raised up. Churches are growing. Pastors are being set free and helped. Strategy and everything that Pastor William and Clara learned here, they're putting into other people. All right? So we have an opportunity to do good. To do good. All right? So, how many think we should do this? How many think we should do this? All right. Leave your hand up. I'm not joking. Leave your hand up. Ushers are in the aisle. Ushers are in the aisle. Don't put your hand down. All right. There's secret TV cameras in here. Okay. Just kidding. Not kidding. All right. So, if you want to participate, get an offering envelope. Now, you may say, Pastor, I don't carry cash with me or whatever. I don't either. My wife and I, we talked about it. We prayed about it. We're going to do something this afternoon. We'll do it online. Okay? So if this is going to be something you want to do in the next couple of weeks, take an envelope and put it on your fridge. Take an envelope, put it on the dash of your car. This will help you remember that I've got a do good assignment from the Lord that we're going to do together as a church family. And we're gonna present this to that ministry, and they're gonna be driving around. Now, what happens if we get too much? Well, we'll buy extra tires, or we'll get a canopy, or whatever. It'll 100% go to this project and to that ministry. We won't use it on anything else. All right. Hands, if your hand's still up, just leave it up. All right. So lots and lots of over here, lots of hands up over here. Mergers, awesome, fantastic. All right, just leave it up. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, and there's somebody in the parents' room. A mom, two moms. Amen. Now, keep your hands up, but I just want to conclude with what Paul said here. Keep your hands up. He said that when we do this, so we have these two warnings that we're careful about, and then we've got these five things that we're actively doing. What happens? There's a fruit and a result that takes place. Okay? And let me turn there. 1 Timothy 6. There is something that is felt in eternity. That guy Gladiator was not an original thing he thought of. That what we do in this life echoes for eternity. That's Bible. 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So there's things that are changing in eternity when we can take extra and put it into God's kingdom. But then the other thing is we lay hold on eternal life. Doesn't mean we buy it, because you can't buy grace, but it means that we keep our hands on it. This is what we're using. This is what we are about. Is this not the temporal stuff of this earth? Amen. All right. Did everybody get an envelope that needed one? Okay, I think so. Now, if you said, "Hey, I do want," I've got my. Hungry Lion money on me right now. There'll be buckets on the way out. You can participate today if you so choose. Otherwise, you're going to have to designate a truck or Pastor William, and then we'll make sure it gets into that. Okay? All right. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? Well, we have this practice, this exercise, but let's ask God to just help us to continue in this, in these ways for the rest of our life. Amen? Can we pray? Father, we thank you so much that you took us from a self-centered life to a life with Jesus at the center and serving other people. And Lord, that it is possible to actually use our money in that way. And that, Father, that people in this room that are smart and talented and they're wise with money, and Lord, those that are becoming more and more that way, that Lord, you said that you would teach our hands how to profit. Lord, that can be for a divine purpose. It can be for kingdom. And Lord, that you would protect our heart from arrogance and pride. That you would protect our heart from trusting in the wrong thing, God. We trust you. We love you. We serve you alone. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place, the Bible said we saw today to trust in the living God. The living God. You see, there is only one Savior of the world, and it's Jesus. There are other philosophies. Some are decent. They're to be kind, to be honest. But there's only one Savior who died for you. When Jesus came to the earth, he came to die, and he did just that. And he allowed his life to be taken from him. And at the cross, the Bible says he bore our sin. He received our iniquities. The punishment of God was upon him so that you and I could be healed, forgiven, helped, and brought into God's family. And there is only one pathway to God. There's only one pathway to peace, and it is the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you say, I've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life, today is your day. Perhaps you were like me. I grew up in a church. I knew about Jesus. I heard about him. I believed that he existed, but he was not king of my life. I had not asked him to forgive me. I wasn't really interested in that. But today, right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. He's convincing you of your need for Jesus. And we want to pray. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. And I've walked away from God. Friend, walk home. Come home to a father who loves you. Repent and turn to him today. Oh, there's restoration. You haven't gone too far. Because right now you're hearing the gospel and you can come home. So Pastor, you say, that's me. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior, my Lord. I need to come home to him. I want to pray with you. And so that we can, all over this auditorium, simply lift up your hand real, real high. Just lift it up, wave it at me. Thank you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Who else will say, that's me? God bless you, ma'am. Thank you over here. Oh, he's a good, good Jesus. And he'll receive you today. Anybody else before we pray? Before we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we all stand to our feet before we go? Thank you so much for being a part of this service. But right now is the most important time. Let's not move around just yet. Every single person, you lifted up your hand. Grab your handbag, your Bible, whatever you brought to church with. And come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. And God is going to do a marvelous, marvelous work in your life. Let's give these folks a big, big hand as they're coming. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, sir. Bless you. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Maybe you didn't lift up your hand, but you know you should be here. Well, just come. Just come because he's a good God. He forgives and he receives you. God bless you. Thank you. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. He is good. And his mercy endures forever. Thank you, sir. The Bible tells us this, our help comes from the Lord. So why don't we lift up one of our hands towards heaven as a sign that we're looking to Him for help. And just pray this with me. Say this. Say, God, I believe You sent Jesus Christ, Your only Son, to die in my place. He lived a perfect life, and He died as a criminal. It was my sin. God, forgive me. Thank You that You raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive. Jesus, be King over my life. I bow the knee of my life to You and to You alone for the rest of my life. Thank You, Jesus. You bring me into Your family of love and help. In Your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Would you just turn and follow Zalimba here? We want to give you a book and pray with you individually. If you would just follow him. Thank you so much. Amen. Now, if you have a need in your life, whatever it is, our care team is up front, and they would love to be able to serve you, to pray with you. And at Miracle Life, we pray according to God's promises. What has He said about your situation? And so we trust Him together. And as we sang earlier, all of His promises are yes and amen because of what Jesus did in His finished work. And so please come and receive ministry, and we would love to just be a part of that with you. All right? Well, shall we go in the love and the goodness of Jesus today? Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that when we allow Your word to penetrate our heart, there's 30, 60, 100-fold. Father, may there be wonderful fruits of generosity, of kindness, of wisdom, of eternal decisions with money that come as a result of what we've heard. Lord, help us, bless us. Lord, use us like never before. In Your name we pray. Amen. 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 You are dismissed, and why don't we allow you to be dismissed from the back to the front. The ushers will help with that. God bless you so much.